wonder about me sometimes. all the Hot Wheels cars and the cones and everything. you really think I have a spiritual reason for doing it? Actually, I just like playing with toys. Remember Bubba? I enjoyed Bubba's presence up here. I think it's valuable if we can learn something with a visual, perhaps, before us. And I have a lot of fun doing it. I hope you have a lot of fun soaking some of it in. And we've been talking about, in general, how big is God? How big is God? And we would all say, I believe, pretty much, you know, we're in church. Most have been Christians for a long time. They'd say, oh, God is just big. I mean, we're talking huge. You know, we'd say that in church. But then really what counts is on a day-to-day basis. You know, do we put it in practice? Do we live our life basically stress-free in the sense that God's big enough to handle this? And that's what we've kind of zeroed in. You know, we talked about creation and how big God was, and he's big enough. If he can create us and create all that is, he can, from nothingness, he can. He's big enough to take care of our lives and direct our lives. And then we talked about the crossing of the Red Sea with the children of Israel. We talked about how big God was there and how he protected the children of Israel. And if he's that big, he can surely take care of us. And then we turned the corner and we went to our handout. And we've been looking at this handout, and I've deviated from the handout a bit. And we've talked about different things at different times. You just never know where I might end up. But tonight, we're going to go back to the handout, and we're going to talk about a few things. But I want to make sure that you've been paying attention. I want to make sure that you remember what these different things stand for, okay? Now, I'm ready for you to really shine, okay? And anyone who answers a question gets a gold star for the night, okay? All right, you ready for that? Okay, now we're talking about God directing our lives. Now, we started out at one point talking about all these cars. Can you all see all those cars? Now, what did I say that represents here as we're talking about God directing our lives? Do you remember? People, us. Lots of variety in this thing is a lot. It's holding my track up. That's why I can't show you a whole lot. But we got dump trucks. We got, it looks like SUVs. We got fire trucks. We got Lightning McQueen. We got, and we're all different, right? Once we trust the Lord as Savior, we're different, but we're still part of the same family of God, which we've been talking about on Sunday nights, right? Okay, so that's good. Who answered that? Gwen, did you answer that? Okay, you get a gold star. Now, beyond that, we started talking about the track that we have. Okay, now what did the track represent in our analogy if we've been talking about this? Our life. I heard Linda first. She gets a gold star. This represents our life, the track that we have. Now, who puts, now raise your hand so I can figure out who puts our life, the track of our life, together? I saw Larry's hand first, so you beat your wife. Who is it? So God is the great track builder, if you will. Taking our car that he has a plan for, represented by the track, and he puts it together. Okay, so you're doing great so far. So Larry, you get a gold star, gold star, gold star. Well, come on, rest of you, come on, wake up. You ready? I'll go by the fastest hand, okay? Now, as I look at this track, we talked about snowflakes. Now, we said that we live in a sinful world, right? And a lot of times things happen that kind of throw us off for a bit. You know, it's not necessarily our fault. It's just part of life. I mean, it would be good to say, well, I'm just right hanging in there. Everything's good and everything. But sometimes we get a little bit dumbfounded because things hit us pretty hard because we are sinners living in a sinful world. God does not cause sin. God does not cause temptation. God does not cause bad things. He's the author of good things. But if you really want to think about it, and I've thought about it quite a bit, the only way that we could not have bad stuff in this world is God made every human being a puppet or a robot. And we all just did good, and there wouldn't be any. But because we are a sinful people living in a sinful world, bad things happen. So here we are in our car. My car is the coolest car in the bunch, by the way. We're representing our car. We're going down the track that God has ordained for us. And all of a sudden, we represented it there by the snowflakes. Boom, we hit some snow and go right off the track. Now that, again, is not something we willingly do, and it doesn't take God by surprise. But sometimes we get a little bit stunned. We're like, okay, if we'll let God let us get our balance again, get our perspective again, get our eyes back on Him again. What did I say He does? He takes us off wherever we might have, brushes us off, puts us right back on the track, right? So snowflakes represent just things that happen in life. Now here, this one, if you remember, I told you, I borrowed this from Ken. What does this represent? Okay, you've already got a gold star. You can't stack gold stars, so you just got one. Okay, Connie. Okay, this is our old sinful way, right? This is what we want to do, and we want it when we want it. And sometimes, as we're going down the track for God, we say, you know what? I don't want to go down God's track for me. I want to do what I want to do because I want to be happy. And whenever you start saying I that much, you got a problem, okay? As they say, you got eye disease. And we put the baby doll down there on the track. We let the car go. Boom, the car went way off somewhere. Now, you can continue to be way off from God's will and God's plan for your life and God's track for your life, however you want to analyze that, right? You have a choice. But guess what? How do you normally feel when you're off of God's track? Pretty blah, right? Now, some people just continue to live and are like, I'm blah. Well, why don't you come back to church? I'm blah. Why don't you come back to church? My life is just misery. Well, come back to church. And not just church, but come back to the Lord, serving Him. Now, you don't lose your salvation. I'm firmly convinced, as sure as I'm standing here, there is no way you can lose your salvation. Because it's not dependent upon how good you are or how bad you are. It's dependent upon the grace of God. I put my faith and trust in Jesus, and at a point in time I was saved. And the Bible says that basically I'm in Christ's hands and Christ is in God's hands. And there's no way that any man, including yourself, can pluck away your salvation or pluck you out of God's hands. Do I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
All right. So we're not talking about losing your salvation when you go off the track by your own I want my way, baby self, okay? But we can do that, right? Because we're sinners. Now, once that we go off the track and we're way over there somewhere, what do we need to do? Okay, we need to get back on the track. So the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So God, once again, just takes us, brushes us off. Okay, get back on track. And we get back on track. Now, there are consequences. You know, we talked one whole Wednesday night about the discipline of God, the chastening of the Lord. Now, there are certain things. I can disqualify myself from certain parts of ministry. You can disqualify yourself from certain parts of ministry and certain things. And you can be out off of the track, and God says, okay, now's the time. I need you. And you're off the track doing your own thing. So you've kind of missed that opportunity. So clearly, consequences. There are always consequences. The forgiveness is pure and real and complete, but there still are consequences. But what happens, even if we as a big baby knock ourselves off the track, so to speak, and say, I want you, my own thing, mine life. God says, okay, I forgive you, and puts us back on the track, right? All right. Now, it's important that we know the track of life, right? Does anyone remember the passage of Scripture that we've looked at? We've used it more than one Wednesday night. It's a very important passage of Scripture that talks about finding God's perfect will for us. You know, and I thought about these cones here. I've really not alluded to the cones at all. When it comes to God's will and doing God's will, we need to proceed with caution. Because you see a cone, what do? It seems like they're doing, I don't know, in Doddridge County and around there, it seems like they're constructing, doing everything. They're digging holes, they're patching road, they're laying water lines or whatever, everywhere. But you see a cone, you kind of like, oh, caution. Now, I didn't say fear God's will, But you need to proceed with caution and make sure you're in the center of God's will, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's on your sheet there. Now, this is very, very important on figuring out what God's track. You see, God has a will, and God wants us to do his will, so it's not supposed to be a secret. So how do we find God's will? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul writes to the Roman Christians, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. So if you want to be in the center of God's will, first of all, you got to present yourself to God. Here I am. A lot of Christians want to hide under a rock. They don't want to present themselves to God. They're like, I'm doing my own thing. But if you really want to get on the center of the track where God wants you to be, present yourself. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here I am. I'll do whatever. Sacrifice, right? Whatever you want me to do. I got to say it all or I get mixed up where I'm at in the verse. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, we shouldn't, just by saying, God, here I am, shouldn't be like, oh boy, I'm a super Christian. That's what all there, every single one of us ought to be doing, right? Every single Christian, after what Jesus did for us. And it says, in addition to that, if you want to be in the center of where God wants you to be, right in the center of the track, and be not conformed to this world. So don't conform to the world. My goodness, what an exhortation to the church. What an exhortation to Christians. We are so busy trying to look, think, talk, smell like the world, amuse ourselves like the world, we forget we're supposed to be different. We're not to be conformed to the world. We don't need Play-Doh Christians that conform to whatever they're around. We need to be different. Be not conformed to this world. So, first of all, it's presentation. Here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? The second thing is non-conformation. Do not conform to the world. Okay? Be not conformed to this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? How is your mind transformed? It's not by listening to Fox News all day. It's not by listening to the Weather Channel all day. It's not by listening to the music of the world. How do we transform our mind? It's by the Word of God. By the Word of God. Now, if you want to be in the center of God's will for your life, right in the track that God wants for you, you got to say, here I am, Lord. Living sacrifice. I'll do whatever. I want to be in your will. And then you say, my life is not going to conform to this world. I'm not going to try to be like the world. I'm actually going to try to be more and more like Jesus every day. And I'm going to transform my mind by renewing it in the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful. If you want to become what God wants you to become, it's through the Word of God. In Psalm 119, it says, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How can we cleanse our ways? How can we be like Jesus? Spending time in the Word of God. And when you do that, it's like washing all the bad stuff out and putting all the good stuff in. Right? So, how do we know God's will? Let's finish up. Be ye, so what's it start? I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for your life. Some people like to think, I got six different choices, whatever God wants me to do. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think God's got one perfect will that he's had for your life from the foundation of the world. Because God knows everything. He looked down the road and said, this is what I want Tim Cochran to do. This is what I want Tim Rupert to do. This is what I want Amy DeLay to do. This is what I want Cheryl Nixon to do. I mean, exactly. And you don't wave a magic wand. A lot of people like, they want to do their own thing in life. This is one of my pet peeves. I've got to stand on something. I'll stand on my soapbox. This is one of my pet peeves. Some Christians want to do their own thing in life, and then all of a sudden they got some big decision. Like, oh, preacher, how do I know God's will? Well, it really is a lifestyle. first of all, Lord, here I am. I'm not going to conform to the world, but I'm going to be in your word, transforming this old sinful person into what Jesus wants me to be. And then I can test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right. Continuing the analogy. Remember the rest of the analogy? There's two more gold stars up for grabs, okay? And if you've already got a gold star, be content with your gold star, okay? On this track, there are two guardrails. Mrs. Delay? Yes. What is that? Okay. Okay, one of the guardrails that keeps us in the center of the Word of God, not only does it transform our mind and make us more like Jesus, it tells us what God's will is. I mean, sometimes people do wacky things. They come to preachers sometimes and say, I'm going to do this, preacher. You know, stupid stuff. Like, I'm going to divorce my wife and marry this person because God told me to. And it's like, you're not listening. The Bible doesn't, you know. Well, I just let them have a piece of my mind, preacher. And I knew that was from God. I knew God. You know, just in a mean spirit. I'm like, I don't think you're doing. You got to make sure that when you're in God's will, you let the guardrail of the Word of God govern what you do. And God will take the Word of God and use it in your hearts and life when you're seeking out a decision. I mean, I can't explain it. I talked about that still small voice. But guess what? One guardrail is the Word of God. The other guardrail to keep us in the center of God's track or will for our life is what? Diana. Holy Spirit of God, we got another gold star. Okay, those that want a gold star, we're having a party after church tonight. We got ice cream for you, the rest of it, tough luck. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right, so we got the Word of God and we got the Spirit of God on one side. That's the two guardrails. If you want to stay in the center of God's will for your life, you can't go against what the Holy Spirit of God says, and you can't go against what the Word of God says. And actually, the Holy Spirit of God will use the Word of God to direct the child of God. It will. Part of the problem is we just don't spend enough time in God's Word. So, you got this whole analogy here, okay? Any questions about that? I don't always ask for questions, but if you get this concept about the child of God doing the will of God and the track, you know, the one in the center of God's will, and you get this in your mind, you'll be far ahead of a lot of Christians. Seriously. Because a lot of people don't get this. God's will is not punishment, okay? It's like, well, I guess I'll better do God's will because, you know, it's going to be a drug. No, actually, it's the most blessed place to be. And that's exactly where I want to be, in the center of God's will. It's the place to be most blessed. So like I said, if you get this analogy in your mind and in your heart, most importantly, it can really have power in your heart and life. And so when decisions come up, it's not like, well, that's what I'm going to do because that's what my friends all told me to do. That's what I'm going to do because my brain tells me that's what I need to do. He said, nah, I'm going to do what God wants me to do based upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God because I want to be in the center of God's track for my life because He has a perfect plan for me. And I need to make sure that I'm living a lifestyle so that I can know God's will. So if you get all that, you're one up. Any questions about what we've talked about? We're going to cover a little bit of new ground, maybe more, maybe a little, maybe a lot. I don't know yet. Okay, we're going to look at one of the points on that sheet. On the second page, let's look at number 5. Remember, we kind of jumped around a little bit. But number 5 on the second sheet. Does anybody still, I think I have 2 sheets up here. Actually, I have more than that. I have 5 sheets. Okay. I might have had 6. Yeah, I think there were 6 in here. Never could count. Where's my calculator? One of y'all will run down here and get one? Who else needs one? Okay, everybody good? Marcia, you need one? Are you going? All right. we're going to look at least at one more point tonight, maybe more. Did a lot of reviewing. Number five. Your sheet has blanks on it, so if you want to take something and fill this in or borrow a pen from somebody, that would be fine. It says, God directs the very events of your day. God directs the very events of your day. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit. We're going to use a familiar verse, and I really think that events is the blank. I really think that we take this verse a little bit too flippant, or maybe the word is flippantly. I think we kind of like just throw it out there, you know, the verse we're going to look at. But I'm going to suggest a little bit deeper thought and a little bit deeper meaning to this common verse that we use quite a bit. Now, continuing the track analogy, you know, have here a tape measure. You know, I was going to say, you know, the Bible says that basically 70 years is kind of the general standard of the time of our life. With modern medicine, it's gone up a little bit more. So, excuse me, I didn't want to make anybody mad if I said 70 years because we have more than 70-year-olds here. 80, let's just say 80 years, okay? That's 29,120 days, okay? 29,120 days. So if you live to be, let's just round it there for the purposes of this. If you live to be 80 years of age, you basically have 30,000 days. 30,000 days. Wow. That doesn't really seem like that much to me. But as far as this track goes, this track, let's see, I figured up how long it was. I jotted it down somewhere. This track is 192 inches long, the one that I have up here. So that means if each one represents one day, 8/1,000ths of an inch is one day on this track, 8/1,000ths. And I really think that every one of those days is important to God. Y'all agree with that? Every single one of those days is important to God. And I don't know, probably the older you get, the more important it becomes to us. Because when you're young, you're kind of like, oh, I got a lot kind of time left. And you get a little bit older, like, man, I don't know. This is going pretty fast, and it's zipping by. God directs the very events of your day. That verse there is Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So you know what we do with this verse, don't you? A lot of times. And I'm not saying it's a bad use, but I want to make it a little bit deeper. You know, we're kind of having a bad day. And we're like, you know, I don't know about this day. I don't feel very good. I mean, some of these folks here tonight can relate to that because you've not felt very good lately. Like, I'm not feeling very good. I don't have a very good attitude. I may not even feel like I'm saved. But this verse says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So I better try to rejoice in it. That's kind of the way we, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because we need to be reminded to rejoice in every day that we had. And we kind of look at it kind of like generically. Like, okay, God made this day. He made the sun come up. He gives us air to breathe. And then the sun goes down and it gets dark and it gets cool and, you know, the animals come out and we go to sleep. This kind of like generically, God made a day, so I should enjoy it. I think it goes a little deeper than that. I really do. I think the idea behind the verse is that God made this day specifically for you. Now, let's see. Should have just asked Amy. Amy already knew that. 20 of us, okay? I believe that God made 20 different days for every one of us. And the events of that day for for every single one of us. Now, again, I'm not saying that God causes bad things to happen to us, because God is a God who's good, but we do live in a sinful world. But when those things do happen, because we live in a sinful world, God doesn't all of a sudden go, oops, what in the world? I mean, God knows everything, right? He knows the past, the present, and the future. He does not see time linearly like we do. We just see it linearly. We know what might have happened in the past, and we know what's happening right at this present moment, but we have no clue what's going to happen in 5 more minutes. So, the idea, I believe, you know how people use schedulers or planners? You know, probably if you were in, I know we have a lot of retired folks, but folks who are still working, you have a planner, right, Ryan and Jason? And sometimes it's kind of funny. I'm going to pick on Jason for a minute. We'll say, Jason, what else you got this week? He said, I don't know. I haven't looked yet. Or I'm not really. He has a pretty good idea in his mind. He really does. But, you know, specifically, do you have any more tests this week? And, you know, he's been in the middle of all this Greek, and he's like, I'm not sure. I don't think there's much more this week. I got to look. But when you have a lot going on, you have a schedule, you know, hour by hour. And if you had work, I mean, I know with grandkids and ball games and all of that, you know, you still keep it pretty busy, right? And you say, this is what I'm going to do. When you're at work, it's even hour by hour. I guess what I believe that verse is really saying, God has our day timer filled out. And he knows what's going to happen. He knows who you're going to encounter. Hour by hour, minute by minute. And because God has his hand on that, and God knows all about it, and God is a loving God who has me in the palm of his hand, I should rejoice. Because nothing this day, according to God's day timer, according to God's schedule book, is going to take it by surprise. It's not going to overwhelm me. It's not going to be outside of God's power, because he has laid out the events of my day. Now, if you're here and you say, I just don't believe that's what it's talking about, preacher, that's God bless your heart. That's fine. But I really think, as I've thought about this verse a lot, that God specifically has laid out every one of our days individually. And that ought to allow us to face that day with joy. Because we're not just wandering out in space somewhere. We're not just on some island separated from God. I mean, God says, hey, I got this laid out. And this is what's going to happen. And when someone's mean and nasty to you, God knew all about it. And you put a smile on your face anyway and say, God just didn't take you by surprise. So I'm just going to face this and keep on moving forward with joy. Remember, joy isn't necessarily always shown on the outside. This idea of rejoicing and being glad, you can be rejoicing and glad on the inside. I've defined for years joy as a smile on your heart. And you can smile on your heart even if the outside doesn't always reflect that. Now, every once in a while, there's a problem if it doesn't show out here too, that we're joyful, but when things come up, and when we get a call from the doctor, we've been waiting on a report, and we get a call back, and they say, and it's not good news. Don't you think God has knew all about that? And he laid out that day exactly. And when you have a cat that dies, Gwen, don't you think God knew all about it? Exactly when that, I mean, God knows everything. So, I don't know about you, but that encourages my heart and helps me to be able to rejoice a little bit more when things come up, because God's got it all under control. Again, this is the day which the Lord hath made. I'll put a parenthesis. For you and for me, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn to Psalm 139, and then we're almost finished. Psalm 139. Verse 15. Now, there's some, I guess, disagreement a little bit about what these verses, I'll point it out to you in a moment, exactly what they're saying. Psalm 139, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. So I'm going to at least throw this possibility out there. I'm not saying that I know exactly the answer to this, but I want you to look. Psalm 139, verse 15. It says, "My substance was not hid from thee," David writes, "when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." So in other words, when I was formed in my mama's womb, it wasn't a secret to you, God. You knew all about it. And it says in verse 14, we didn't read, "but for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Verse 16, "thine eyes did see my substance when yet being unperfect. And in thy book And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." So this really, the whole idea goes along with this, the whole theme of "this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it," because God knew all about it. But in verse 16, some would say, and I'm not even saying I agree with it, but I'd say it's a possibility. When it says, "and in thy book all my members were written," all my members, some translate that, or the thought of "all my days were written." All my days. Interesting thought. It says, "all my days were written when in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." So I wasn't even existing yet, but you had my days all figured out. Again, that's a possibility of what's being said there. But I do know that God knows all about my every day. So when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to fret. I can really rejoice. Because nothing that I encounter that day takes God by surprise or is too big for God to handle. So tonight, the big point, God directs the very events of your day. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you, in general, lately, let's just bring this home a little bit. In general, lately, how have you been handling your days? How have you been handling your days? This verse in Psalm 118:24, "this is the day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad." Have you been rejoicing and glad in your days? Now, notice I didn't say, how have your days been going? I just said, how have you been handling your days? Because we could have some folks here that says, "boy, my days have been horrible. It's been bad." But if I'm understanding this right, because the Lord knows all about it, and because the Lord is always there with me, I can still rejoice in the midst of that. So regardless of what you're going through, lately, have you been rejoicing and being glad in it? Have you been rejoicing and being glad in it? Because God knows all about it, and because God is big enough to handle it. If God is kind of knocking on your heart a little bit, saying, "you know what, you've not been exactly too glad. You've not exactly been too rejoicing." Would you ask God to forgive you for that and to help you rejoice and be glad even in the midst of difficult days, knowing that He has planned this day out for me? He knows all about it. He's big enough to handle it, and He loves you supremely. Would you ask Him to forgive you and to help you to rejoice more and to be glad in every day? All of God's people said,